Almost 50 years ago, I began my study of the rich and successful people. Of course, not all rich people are successful, but I remember trying to understand why some people were rich while others kept struggling financially. Now, over the years, I attended many seminars, paid mentors, and read as many books as I could on the topic of success. And then I modelled myself on successful people, and eventually I grew successful myself. That wasn't easy. I've had my challenges, many of them self-inflicted, and I've hit rock bottom, but I got up again and I learned from my mistakes and I moved forward. Over the years, I grew a very, very substantial property portfolio, built a national business that has won multiple awards as Australia's leading property consultants, and my team's now been involved in over $4 billion worth of property transactions and currently manages over $2 billion worth of assets for clients. So as you can imagine, I've learned a few things about wealth and success along the way. And a byproduct of that was my top-selling book, Rich Habits, Poor Habits, that I co-authored with Tom Cawley. And that's become an international bestseller, translated into a number of foreign languages, including Chinese, Vietnamese, Malaysian, and Polish. It's being looked at in India. Anyway, in our book, we explain that being rich has little to do with the money itself. Instead, it has a lot to do with how you think about money. So if you want to become rich, one of the first steps is to know how the wealthy think about money, how they think about it differently than you do, and how to start thinking like them. Of course, the next step is to take action, and let the actions become natural by thinking the way wealthy people think. So Tom and I found wealthy people, rich people, share similar habits, and we explained that in some detail in our books. But in my last podcast with Tom Cawley, we started to share some of the success habits of the rich and wealthy. And in today's show, as part of the ongoing series of these Rich Habit, Poor Habit podcasts, Tom and I are going to share some more success habits so that hopefully you'll have a better insight into what you need to do to move up the rungs of the wealthy. So welcome to today's show.
Welcome to the Michael Yardney podcast, where twice each week you will learn a number of new ideas regarding success, property investment and money in around 30 minutes. Our show is brought to you by Metropole, who specialise in helping you grow, protect and pass on your wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. Now here's your host, Michael Yardney, Australia's authority in wealth creation through property, who has been voted one of Australia's top 50 most influential thought leaders.
If you've been reading my blogs or those of Tom Cawley, or if you've been listening to our monthly Rich Habit, Poor Habits podcast, or you've read our book, Rich Habits, Poor Habits, you're going to know that the rich people share similar habits, just the way poor people share similar habits. Now, before you get too offended, we're not making a value judgment when we say rich people or poor people. They're just terms that we're using to clarify the different way of thinking that maybe 1% of the population exhibit to the majority of the people in the world. So let's learn more about these habits. And to do that, I'm going to have a chat with my good friend and co-author of Rich Habits, Poor Habits, Tom Cawley. Welcome, Tom.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Good, thank you. Now, this is, again, part two of the series that we're running through the habits of successful people. But let's first clarify, what is a habit? What really is a habit?
A habit is a group of neurons that talk to each other frequently enough that they form a synapse. A synapse is where these groups of neurons actually move closer together and their dendrites and their axons sort of connect with each other. So that when that happens, you have a synapse. Now, if that communication becomes repetitive, meaning you're not doing it just once a year, or twice a year, or once a month, but you're doing it every single day, then the basal ganglia, which is a part of the brain that resides in the limbic system, it will send up a dendrite into that group of neurons to monitor it, to see how frequently the synapses, they're communicating. If it's frequent enough, the basal ganglia marks it as a habit, and it's a habit forever.
Now, habits have a purpose, though, Tom.
They do. So there's a couple of reasons why we have habits, Michael. One is habits help reduce the amount of fuel that brain cells use. And the reason they are able to reduce the amount of fuel, which is primarily glucose, is the process of building a habit is actually almost like those neurons are lifting weights. And they're getting stronger and they become more muscular. Well, you know, if you're muscular, it's a lot easier for you to lift a 10-pound weight than if you're not muscular. It could be hard to lift a 10-pound weight. Well, habits are neurons that are actually have muscles. They're bigger, they're stronger, and so there's more speed and efficiency that in terms of communication. That's number one. And number two is they don't require as much fuel. The fuel that was required was to build them up and make them stronger and bigger neurons. After that, they're on autopilot. They require a bare minimum of fuel, a bare minimum of glucose. So you can look at habits as the means to create efficient actions, behaviors, thinking, and also at a lower miles per gallon.
Sure. So as we work through the rich habits of successful people, let me go through a couple that are in our book, Rich Habits, Poor Habits, and I'd love your thoughts on them. Now, we went through 12 of them in the last podcast, but another one I'd like to share is that rich and successful people, and again, not all rich people are successful and not all successful people are rich, but in general, they align themselves with like-minded people, Tom. They understand the importance of being part of a team. They create win-win relationships.
So your grandmother was right. They always had these sayings. One of the things we heard growing up was birds of a feather flock together. And that could be a good thing or a bad thing. If you're pursuing wealth and success, the birds that you want to flock around with are the other people who are like-minded, the other success-minded people. They might be successful. They don't have to be successful, but they have to have that mindset where they're upbeat, positive. They are looking for opportunities. They're enthusiastic. So they have to have this success mindset. You want those people to be surrounding you. You don't want toxic people, negative people, people that are going to drag you down, because people that are upbeat, success-minded, they're going to tell you, Michael, hey, there's a way for you to solve this problem, by the way. We've done this before, and this is how we solved it. People that are negative or toxic, they're going to say, give it up, Michael. I've tried it. I've failed. And it's a waste of your time. So you want the upbeat, positive people who are success-minded. Yes. And that's the reason. They'll help you become more successful.
Well, we've all heard that we are a combination of those people we hang around with the most. So it does make a lot of difference. Another rich habit is that while the poor people believe that money makes them happier, the rich actually know that money has very little to do with happiness. Sure, it does make life easier and more enjoyable, but they're not in it just for the money.
No, they're not. But one interesting thing I found is that wealthy people have 58% fewer problems than poor people. And so, you know, wealth, it won't make you happier, but it will remove some of the unhappiness that people typically have. The real thing about pursuing wealth that I think is important is the point from where you go from point A to point B being where you want to be the wealth, that distance between those two points is growth. In order to get from point A to point B, you have to grow into another person. You have to become better and more and improve person. And that never goes away, Michael. No matter what, you become that person, you're that person forever.
Sure. So we were talking about money solving problems. I think one of the comments we've both made over the time is that any problem money can solve isn't really a problem. So money does make you happier to a degree because it also helps you buy new experiences, more experiences, and makes life easy. Now, another of the success habits of the wealthy people, of the rich, is that they don't blame others. They take responsibility for their actions and their outcome. They know there's no such thing as a rich victim.
Yeah, you can't be a victim. Victims don't make any money. They never become wealthy. Victims are people who blame their life circumstances on everybody but themselves. And they look for solutions, external solutions to their problems. They're not looking for internal solutions. Whereas wealthy people don't believe that there's a solution out there that somebody's going to drop in their lap. They believe that they have to solve their problems themselves. They believe that they are the architects of their life. And so they take individual responsibility for their financial circumstances and the decisions that they make. They don't blame anybody because that's a waste of time and that doesn't get you anywhere in life.
Well, the pilots of their life, as you say, rather than feeling like they're passengers being driven along by the government or the institutions or the world, and if you have more control or you feel you're more in control, you feel much better about things, don't you, Tom?
Yeah, I think that's a big factor in happiness, by the way. And you know who talks about this? There's a guy named Scott Adams who wrote Dilbert. You ever hear that?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
It's a very famous cartoon strip. And Scott Adams and I, we follow each other on Twitter, so I get to see all his stuff. He talks a lot about how happiness is actually having control over your life, the feeling that you have control over your life. If you feel that you don't have control over your life, you're going to be unhappy. If you feel that you have control over your life, you're going to be happy. He said that's more important than money because feeling. And I agree with what he's talking about because I've written about it. The idea that you have flexibility in your workday to do A, B, C, or D makes you feel like you have control over your life. The idea that, like I talk a lot about waking up at 4 or 5 in the morning. I did that for years. I still do it because it gives me a feeling that I have control over my life because I can get certain things done in the beginning of my day. Nobody can interfere with that time period because there's nobody up. Everybody's still sleeping. So I have like that 2 hours of magic time in the morning. And that makes me feel happy because I have some feeling of control over my life.
I know what you mean. And you get a lot more done in those hours, don't you? Now, another of the rich habits, as we're working through the rich habits, and the aim of making you aware of these is really so that you can see, hey, which ones of these can I adopt and which poor habits am I doing unconsciously, subconsciously? Because remember, almost everything that you're doing in your day is happening at an unconscious, subconscious level because that's just the way our brain works. But one of the rich habits, or let's talk about a poor habit, is that the poor believe that it's wrong for a small group of people. And some, remember there was all that fuss about the 1% years ago, Tom. They think it's wrong for a small group of people to possess most of the money. On the other hand, the wealthy, they actually welcome the masses. They don't care if more people become wealthy. They actually want the wealth to be spread around more. But it's different. They're bringing people up to their level rather than the poor wanting to bring others down to their level.
They're right. It is wrong for a small group to own all the wealth, to have all of the best homes. It's wrong. And that 99% should fix what's wrong themselves in their group. The 1%ers are in the 1%. And most of them, you know, came from poverty or the middle class. So they fixed what was wrong in their life and they became the 1%. So the 99% are right. They're right. The 1% shouldn't own. It should be more broad. Everybody should have a piece of the big pie. If you don't, you're doing something wrong. If the 99% of you are not doing the things you should be doing to get into, to become the 1%. So they're right about that.
In most areas where people are listening to this podcast, in particular in Australia, the United States, and in Europe, there's the opportunity to become wealthy. People are not holding you back. Sure, there are some countries in the world, the underdeveloped countries, where it's very, very hard, but the opportunity to become part of that 1% is there today, isn't it? Now, Tom, one of the ways successful people achieve that isn't because they're more talented than the majority. They just seem to find a way of maximizing their potential. They get more out of themselves. They find ways to be more effective, more efficient.
Yeah, I think they're just, and this is why I focus so much on time-wasting habits, and we talk about it in our book. The wealthy, successful people become better at managing their time. Now, nobody likes time management. You can talk to anybody in a room, and if you're going to have a time management conversation, you're going to lose everybody because nobody likes talking about time management. My point in bringing time management up, though, is that wealthy people don't so much as manage their time as they eliminate things in their schedule that they consider time wasters or don't add value to their lives. So you can look at it a different way and say they don't manage their time at all. What they do is eliminate a lot of the crap that is not improving their lives, not adding value to their lives, not helping them grow and improve. And by eliminating all that stuff, they have all of a sudden all of this free time to pursue opportunities.
Interesting. Now, as we work through the rich and poor habits, I found that in general, Tom, the poor seem to believe that in order to gain something, they've got to sacrifice something else. They say things like, you can't have a great family life and be wealthy. You can't love and be wealthier. They don't think you can have both. While the rich know it's actually not a choice. They've got an abundant mindset. It's not neither or.
No, I do believe that there's some truth to depending on what path you're going to take in life to pursue your wealth. Like, for example, a lot of in the Rich Habits study, a lot of the individuals were saver investors. Well, the reason they are saver investors is they didn't want to work more than 40 hours a week. They didn't want the additional job responsibility. They wanted to spend time with their friends and family, but they still were able to become multimillionaires because they saved and they consistently invested their money. So you can become wealthy without having to work 100 hours a week or having to take on enormous responsibility. There's more than one path to make money and become wealthy.
Now, you write a lot about optimism and that optimists are much more likely to get wealthy than pessimists. I think we've found that successful people, they're solution focused rather than looking for problems or obstacles. But there are some people out there who always just see the glass half empty rather than the glass half full.
Yeah, I deal with it a lot on social media because to a lot of people, I'm the enemy. I have a lot of people that hate me out there because I'm talking about building wealth and they're talking about, wealth is evil. So I've got a lot of enemies, and my point in bringing that up is to build wealth. There's certain things that you have to do, and you have to have a positive mental outlook. You have to have an optimistic outlook, and you have to have good habits, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. You and I write about this in Rich Habits, Poor Habits. There's certain things you have to do. It's not going to drop in your lap, and a lot of these people, and this is why I have so many enemies, is they. They want a Michael Yardney or a Tom Corley to say, hey, I got a real simple solution and you'll become wealthy and this is it. And then it's a turnkey thing and they don't have to do any work.
They're looking for a shortcut, aren't they? Which unfortunately there aren't any, but they end up losing their money to these people who offer them a quick way to riches. Now, the other thing that I've noticed is that successful people are still worried. They still do have fears. They are still scared, like everyone else. But they're not controlled by their fears. They're not limited by their fears. They twist it around the other way, and they use those fears to empower themselves, while the poor, they actually use their fears to stop them moving forward.
Yeah, and this fear is real to the person that's experiencing it. Right. So you can't diminish fear. We've seen it with the pandemic. There are just so many people that were so afraid. My point about the fear is this, though. Fear is only as real as you imagine it to be. Now, a lot of these self-made millionaires, they looked at, if you took a self-made millionaire and you took a poor person, they looked at and they were both presented the same opportunity. And the wealthy person and the poor person said, yeah, that's a good opportunity. The wealthy person would go for it, even though they were scared out of their wits. The poor person would probably go home and talk to, 10 people that are poor that are in their inner circle. And by the time they were done talking to those 10 people, they would be absolutely convinced that it was too much risk associated with it. And meanwhile, the wealthy person is off and taking action while the poor person is still there muddling through their lives and trying to figure out what to do.
Well, one of the other habits, and you've already brought it up, that one of your rich habits is that rich people get up early. Some people call it a 5 a.m. club, some of the 4 a.m. club. They know there's no shortcut. So they work hard, but they do that until they've accumulated enough assets so they don't have to work hard anymore.
Yeah, and I think Robin Sharma, he wrote the 5 a.m. club. I swear he stole that from me because when I was at his speaking gig, the Titan Summit in 2014, I spent about 15 minutes talking about how important this stat was. Getting up at 4:30 to 5 in the morning, 3 hours before you actually went to work. And he was fascinated by it. And so was everybody else. And I think it's an important point. If you have that time in the morning where you've got no phones ringing, no email to check, and you're just sort of locked into your little, I have my home office basement. You go there, you go to your place, and that's your place of growth. That's your growth place. That's your dream place. And I tell my wife, I call it my laboratory. That's where I create my new life. That's my laboratory. I'm creating my new life down in my bunker, in my home office. You have to have that place. And that 3 hours is where you create your dream life. That's as simple as I can put it. That's why it's so important to wake up early.
Well, some people would say that's hard. I don't want to do that. But I think we both realize that if you do the hard things early in your life, the rest of your life is going to be easy. If you do the easy things for much of your life, the balance of your life is going to end up being hard. Another habit of rich people is they know the right questions to ask. They ask the right questions, ones that put them in a productive framework, a creative state of mind. They understand the better the questions they ask, the better answers they're going to get and the better the results they're going to achieve, Tom.
Yeah, and this is, I have to tell you that Jack Canfield really influenced me on this particular rich habit because we talked about it during his 2013 Breakthrough Success. It was part of my rich habits. And we were having a conversation about it. And he said, you know, the asking a question or asking in general, he was putting it, is so important. If you ask the right questions, you get better answers. If you ask for something that you want, there's probably a 50% likelihood that you're going to get what you want. So if you ask people for help, they'll help you. You know, Elon Musk, he talked about this. He said, I've never asked anybody. And so did Steve Jobs. They said, I've never asked anybody a question or for help and was turned down or wasn't given an answer. So asking is very important.
Now, as we work through these, I think it's important to explain that we've all got some rich habits. We've also got some disempowering poor habits. And where you're going to end up in life really is depends upon this seesaw. Do you have more rich habits? Do you have more disempowering poor habits? And we've written about this in our book, Rich Habits, Poor Habits, which you can get on Amazon or good bookstores, or just go to richhabitspoorhabits.com and you can order your own copy. Now, Tom, I know we're both really proud that it's been translated into a number of languages, and boy, is it doing well in Europe and in China and in Taiwan and in Vietnam, in the various languages. I know
and in Poland.
And Poland, of course, in Australia and the United States, and we're bringing out a new version really shortly. But I guess it's resonated with people. People are now, this started with your research of Rich Habits many, many years ago. Did you ever imagine it would spread so far and so wide?
My first book, Rich Habits, was a self-published book, about 89 pages. And this is why it's so important to pursue your dreams. Because I had no idea that that little stupid book was going to take me to Australia and meet one of the nicest people I've ever met, you. Go to Vietnam. I've been to Ireland. I've been to Canada a few times. I've been to just about 25 states in America. That's all of this great stuff that happened afterwards. I got to meet so many people, Robin Sharma, Mark Victor Hansen. My point is, I never imagined this would happen, but I always remember what the wealthy people in my study said is, pursue your dreams, because your dreams will take you places that you never dreamed possible. And I think that's so true. That's why it's so important to pursue a dream. You never know where it's going to lead. And maybe it will make you rich. Maybe it won't make you rich. But certainly the journey is going to be very interesting. And you're going to experience things you never experienced before.
Well, some people are going to listen to this, listen to your story, listen to my success and say, oh, they were just lucky. And that's another poor habit, thinking that the rich are lucky, when the rich know that luck has nothing to do with their success.
look, if you're going to pursue something, a dream, something that you really believe in, it's going to force you to be persistent, because passion drives persistence. Like, I love writing, I love speaking, and I love talking to the media. And so I work really hard on my research so I can share information with all these different diverse parties. That passion keeps me persistent. And what I learned from my research is the persistent eventually get lucky. So if you're saying, yeah, it's all about luck, fine. You want to hold on to that? Great. You're going to need to be persistent in order for that luck to find you, because there are people, I still don't consider myself to be one of the lucky ones. Like Robin Sharma, he wrote The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, and it sold 10 million copies in India. I've read the book. A lot of people read the book. It's okay. It's a good book. My point is that sometimes you get lucky and sometimes you don't, but I'm still doing what I'm doing. I wouldn't say that the author business, the writing book business, has made me wealthy. I might have made $500,000 off of the royalties and speaking gigs. That's good money. I haven't made, the 20, 25 million that Robin Sharma made, but I'm going to keep doing it, because I know that if I am persistent, eventually I will get lucky and I might sell a million books in Poland with you.
Well, again, you can get random good luck and you can get random bad luck, but the successful people don't count on that, do they?
No. And if you're going to go into something with the expectation that you have to get lucky or you're going to be lucky, you're going to be disappointed, because I've been doing this for this Rich Habits stuff since 2004, really the author business since 2009. And I haven't really gotten lucky. So I do it because I love it and I enjoy it and I learn. I know more about wealth because of what I've done over all these years than just about, there's probably you, me, and about 50 other people that know as much about wealth in the world. And that's it.
Well, maybe that's the last habit we should talk about in this session. And we're going to continue on next month with another group of success habits. But it's that the rich are voracious. They're lifelong learners. You are continuously studying and learning every morning. So am I. They constantly work at educating themselves. Now, it's not necessarily formal education, Tom. It's not academic education. It's often informal, by asking the questions, by watching, by reading, by listening, by experimenting, by trying, by failing, and then you try again. That's a really, really important rich habit.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I mean, the whole thing, like, I like to button it up and call it growth habits. These growth habits could be 50 habits, but they're important because the growth habits take you from point A to point B. Point A being the person you are right now. Point B being the person you want to be down the road, the ideal future version of yourself. That's growth habits. And so I do believe that the work that we're doing, the rich habits, poor habits, is important, because we are focusing a lot of our attention on the growth habits so that people can get out from underneath themselves. We are our own worst enemies, and we need to understand that. And our job, you and me, is to help people understand where they're failing in life, what habits they need to embrace in order to get out from underneath that failure.
Well, if people want to find out more about Rich Habits at richhabits.net, your website, if they subscribe to your daily blog, you talk about rich habits every day, and regularly we run those blogs on Property Update. But richhabits.net is a great way of finding out about Tom, his rich habits study, and his thoughts about rich habits. And the reason we're doing this is to help you develop awareness of these concepts. We're wanting you to recognize your disempowering habits. We're wanting you to get rid of some of your poor habits and replace them with rich habits. So we're going to continue teaching people, anyone who's prepared to listen, because our aim is to actually make more people financially fluent, more wealthy. As we said at the beginning, the rich want others to become rich. They're not trying to pull people down.
No, and so if they do help, because they do like to mentor people, I have story after story. I won't go into it now, but I could spend another hour talking about millionaires who actually leaned on some of the people that they mentored later in life, because life throws you wrenches sometimes, and those people that they mentored helped them out of a jam. So yeah, what we're doing is mentoring people. We want to lift people up, make them better. That's what wealthy people do as a matter of habit. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why they're so successful, is because they care so much about helping people succeed.
Well, once again, thanks, Tom. I had real fun in our monthly Rich Habits, Poor Habits podcast chat. Look forward to catching up with you again real soon. And while you're not going to be live at Wealth Retreat on June on the Gold Coast, we are still going to get you there virtually because the people there want to hear your great message. So pity we won't catch up with each other personally this year, but maybe post-COVID next year we'll have a chance to see each other face-to-face again.
We'll be back together. It's just, you know, it is what it is. And I can't wait. I can't wait to share some new research that I have, which you know about. And we'll talk about it at the retreat. Everybody will learn something new.
Fantastic. Thanks, Tom. Well, I hope you got some benefit understanding the success habits of the rich and the wealthy. Now, if you haven't listened to the previous show in this series, go back to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to this podcast and have a look for the podcast of Rich Habits with Tom Corley and myself. And our next episode of the Rich Habits podcast will also continue on this series because there are so many more success habits that we haven't had a chance to discuss yet. But if you got some benefit from this and you'd like to learn more about it, you can always buy a Rich Habits, Poor Habits book. You can just go to richhabitspoorhabits.com and get your own copy or get it online. By the way, once a year, Tom has joined us, well, for the last 5-6 years, at Wealth Retreat. He didn't do it last year because we didn't hold Wealth Retreat in 2020 because of COVID. And he's going to join us this year, but virtually, because he can't travel from the United States to Australia for Wealth Retreat. But if you'd like to see Tom sort of live when he's virtual, and if you'd like to hang around a whole group of people with rich habits, or more rich habits than they have poor habits, why not go to wealthretreat.com.au and find out all about my once-a-year special event. And even if you're not up the rungs of the wealth yet, don't count yourself out. Find out all about it and have a chat with my team. You just click on your interest there and we'll see if there'd be some benefits of you joining us. Now, again, if you enjoyed this show and you'd like to help others learn some of the success habits of the rich, just tell somebody about it or leave a review on whichever podcast app you're listening to this on. I'll be back again twice a week with the Michael Yardney podcast. But if you want to catch up with me in between, just look for me on social media. Just look for Michael Yardney, or you can get daily exclusive snippets from me in my private Facebook group. Just go to Facebook and look up the Property Update private Facebook group, Property Update. Join and you'll get some exclusive information from me and a group of other property savvy people. Look forward to catching up with you again soon. In the meantime, have a great week. Make it a great week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Michael Yardney podcast, which was brought to you by Metropole, who help their clients grow, protect, and pass on their wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. If you like what you heard and don't already subscribe, you'll find us on iTunes or on your favorite Android app as the Michael Yardney podcast. Watch out for our next show, which comes to you twice a week, and you'll learn some new ideas about property investment, success, and money in around 30 minutes. To get more of Michael's thoughts, go across to www.propertyupdate.com.au and sign up for his daily morning briefing, and you'll hear from not only Michael, but a group of leading property success and money experts. And just a reminder that the information you heard in this show today is general educational advice and not specific investment advice, as we don't know your personal circumstances. If you're looking for specific advice, why not ask the team at Metropole to help you?